Lord, we ask you to bless our hobos. Bless also.
That
all
is
those
Father
hobos
John Brickley officiating at the opening ceremonies of the National Hobo Convention. Hobos have been wandering into Brit from around the country all week. They've set up camp in a clearing beside the railroad tracks on the edge of town.
Well, now to get into a little lighter vein, I think I'm going to concentrate a little on nut houses tonight.
Father Brickley, who's 83 years old, is the official hobo chaplain of the United States. This small, white-haired priest stands beside a campfire addressing his flock, some of whom have already stretched out comfortably on cardboard beds.
He said, "I know I'm nuts, but I ain't stupid." Another time, a guy was walking by a mental institution.
In a different context, Father Brickley's penchant for mental institution jokes might seem a little off, but at a convention as unconventional as this one, well,
right out in front of the mental institution, there was a manhole. So this guy was wondering what was going on there. He went out and put his ear to the manhole.
I remember the day of the old steam train, that lonesome hobo squall. Black smoke rising in the sky, coal lines are red in them all. Long cold nights,
About 60 wandering souls have converged on Brit for this annual 3-day gathering.
For clothing, in those days they didn't have a washing machine in the house like they have now. Mama would put out a wash and hang it on the line, and it's set 2 days. So you go around the neighborhood, and there's my shirt size, and there's a pair of socks that looks like they'll fit me, and that night your clothesline run.
It is a diverse crowd. There are lots of younger drifter types, heavily tattooed bikers and cut-off Harley-Davidson t-shirts, but there are also a fair number of Depression-era hobos, old men with long white beards and walking sticks, who've been coming to this convention for years, intent on making sure that everyone's got their definition straight.
A hobo is a migratory laborer, and a tramp is a migratory non-laborer, and a bum is non-migratory non-laborer.
That is Oklahoma Slim, so named by his fellow hobos back in the mid-1920s.
For a simple reason, I was from Oklahoma, and I was lean as a board, so they just called me Oklahoma Slim.
When Oklahoma Slim hopped his first steam train nearly 70 years ago, he became part of a tradition whose origins date back to just after the Civil War, when veterans, uprooted and homeless, took to the road in search of work. They were called hobos, most probably because they tied all their belongings to the end of a hoe. By the turn of the century, there were tens of thousands of these wanderers beating their way across the country. Some drifted aimlessly from job to job. Others, like Oklahoma Slim, followed the seasonal harvests.
I started out in Florida in the tomatoes. Then I jump up to something else, and I get into Oklahoma for something and Kansas for wheat. And then I jumped up to Nice, North Dakota for spuds.
At age 17, my father went broke, so I took to traveling around the country as a fruit tramp.
Guitar Whitey started riding the rails in the mid-1930s, when the era of the hobo was nearing its end, although it was still not unusual to spot a man in a dark suit with a handkerchief around his neck clinging to the side of a freight train. Hobo camps, called jungles, were also plentiful. It was in these jungles beside the railroad tracks where a colorful culture flourished. There was a hobo code of ethics, and there were strict rules of conduct that all gentlemen of the road were expected to abide by.
The real hobo always kept his camp clean. He always left a little food for the next guy. They usually hung up little pots and pans, call them billy cans or gunboats, for the next guy to cook up in. Sometimes you'd find a razor and a mirror hanging in the tree, and you're expected to keep that for the next guy. Everybody was on hard times, and everybody knew it.
The hobo led a difficult existence. Work was tough to come by, employers unscrupulous, the railroad police or bulls could be brutal. There were also plenty of unsavory characters to contend with on the road. Oklahoma Slim remembers that whenever he shared a boxcar with an unfamiliar face, he had to wait for the train to hit a steady stride before he felt it safe to relax.
You lay down, you stick your knife by your ear here, and you wait. And then if it hits that certain rhythm, you go to sleep. Because when the rhythm changes, if somebody in the other end of the car gets up, it'll change the rhythm, and boy, your hand is on the knife.
Oh, sleepy, you weary hobo. Let those towns drift slowly by. Don't you hear them steel rails humming? That's the hobo's lullaby. Yes, your clothes are torn and ragged, and your hair is turning gray. Lift your head and smile at trouble. You'll find happiness someday.
The most highly anticipated event of the convention is the election of the King and Queen of the Hobos. This takes place on the town square in Britt, just behind City Hall. It is the occasion where townspeople meet face to face with their vagabond visitors. The hobos, who have trooped over from their encampment, look somewhat out of place here, sitting on chairs under a gazebo. The townspeople, most conservatively dressed older men and women, sit on benches, shading themselves from the sun with umbrellas. They applaud politely to vote for their favorite candidates and seem well used to the spectacle.
First of all, I'd like to thank all the wonderful people in Britt for giving us those beautiful facilities. We can take a shower. In fact, I didn't take a shower a month just to save my shower until I got here.
Britt has been host to this gathering since 1901, when a couple of locals decided that a convention of this sort might give Britt some publicity and help this quiet town to grow a bit.
Oh, I need my hat. Hair's come, I don't know, the bullets hit all around me.
They couldn't possibly have known that nearly a century later, Britt would still be a tiny speck on the map, and the hobos would still be coming.
And we have a new king. His name is Roadhog.
In the end, the odds-on favorite for Hobo King wins a right to don the crown, a Folger's coffee tin stuck on top of a straw hat. The title doesn't mean much more than a couple of free drinks, but Roadhog is visibly moved. He is a large bearded man in his early 50s with a kind smile. Roadhog was an orphan and a foster home runaway, he says, when he hopped his first freight at the age of 16.
It gave me a reason to live right then, my first train ride. I saw the adventure.
That was 35 years ago, and Roadhog says he's been riding the rails ever since, accompanied in recent years by his trusted sidekick, Lobo. Roadhog is a new breed of hobo, having come of age after the steam train's demise. Hobos felt that diesels were too quick to hop safely, they lacked the steamer's romance, and the ranks of the hobo quickly diminished. Today, only a few like Roadhog continue to live the life, hopping trains, wandering from job to job. Roadhog washes windows.
What I do is I usually carry a bottle of Windex.
Above all else, Roadhog says he always acts in a manner befitting the true hobo.
You display a gentlemanly-like behavior.
Roadhog cuts our interview short. He explains that he has pressing royal business to attend to. Then he asked me for a lift to the Hobnob, Britt's local watering hole.
We're about 8 cars away from the end of the train. No caboose on it. I know that engineer is smart, see?
The Hobnob does blockbuster business during this convention. Prominently placed signs at the hobo's encampment instruct no alcohol or drugs allowed, so jaunts to this establishment are frequent, although it is not possible to order the traditional hobo spirit of choice here.
Rub Dub.
This is Oklahoma Slim.
Rub Dub is an alcoholic drink you make out of rubbing alcohol and water, and if you got a little dash of shaving cream to throw in that, you know, boy, that drink's a wonderful drink.
These hobos seem happy enough, though, with beer and whiskey.
I got 30 days for riding a train. This was in the mid-30s, and I remember the days of, it's a good time in that county prison, which was Onondaga County Penitentiary.
That is a hobo named Sidedoor Pullman Kid, who first hit the road 65 years ago. Like several of the other Depression-era hobos at this gathering, Sidedoor eventually got married and settled down. It was not long, though, before he realized that he couldn't tolerate a conventional life and returned to the road. He continues to ride the rails today, as does Guitar Whitey, who's now 71 years old.
You're constantly on the move.
and that's what you like. If you're not doing too well today, you always have it in the back of your mind, you catch a train, it'll be better tomorrow. And it's very difficult. Once you get that inside of you, it becomes an addiction, and you have to move one way or another.
Salud.
Where are we going to drink to?
We'll drink to our health.
May God give all those hobos buried in our cemetery and in all other cemeteries a merciful judgment and forgive all their sins. May Christ the good.
The final event of this year's convention is a traditional hobo funeral service. Britt has given the hobos a small plot in one corner of the town cemetery where they've buried a half dozen men underneath a large cross made of railroad ties. Today the hobos are burying Lord Open Road, who was murdered in a train yard in Texas. Lord Open Road was a World War II veteran, so the Brit American Legion gives him a proper military send-off. The funeral has also got its fair share of hobo rituals. Irish whiskey is poured from a crumpled paper bag onto the graves. Then all of the hobos circle the plot, holding their walking sticks out over the tombstones. They are led by a hobo named Steam Train Maury.
My sympathy and my feeling is going forth through that stick, and he's getting my comfort.
Steam Train Maury, who's considered the hobo's elder statesman, says that when he walks around this gravesite, he is flooded with memories of fellow hobos who, as he says, have caught the westbound, like his friend, the Pennsylvania Kid.
He was the last man I knew that shaved with glass. He'd take a piece off my Coke bottle, and he would shave with that. That was razor sharp on that edge, and it never gets dull. And then he'd roll it up in a piece of paper and put it in his pocket and keep it. And then whenever he needed a shave, he'd just get it out and shave with it.
We pray for all those hobos who died believing in Jesus and are buried with him in the hope of rising again.
There is a plaque in this cemetery. It reads, "Dedicated to those men and women whose migratory work patterns helped meet the labor needs of America from the Civil War to the Great Depression." But the hobo was more than a worker. He was a wanderer who thrived on being different, an explorer bent on bucking traditional values.
Amen.
Hobos like Guitar Whitey insist it was that fierce commitment to individuality which stands as the hobo's greatest legacy and is missed the most now that the hobo era has passed.
All towns look alike, all the fast foods look alike, all the grocery stores look alike, they want all the people to look alike, they want you to think alike. The hobo was the one who was different. He didn't think like that. And so when you lose him, you know, you'd be losing a lot.
He's just an old hobo. He's doing his best to keep from admitting the truth. He's hurt inside. He knows he can't ride like he did in the day of his youth. He hears the train blowing. He's beaming with pride. He knows it's not all in his mind. That he's going to make one more ride to his home at the end of the line.
I'm David Isay.
Just an old hobo, aboard one more train, he'll ride to the end of the line. He's going away, leaving today, but he's leaving his bedroll behind. There's a place down the line where the sun always shines, where he'll never be hungry or cold. He's going away, leaving today on a heaven-bound train.